This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a very good morning to you here on a Thursday, a throwback Thursday, no less, here on Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio. If you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We have got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Also, my good friend Dave Preston from WTOP, who I've been working with, knowing professionally for over 25 years. Washington football. What do we make of them? 6-7, winners of four straight. They lead the division by a game against the Giants. And actually, I know it sounds funny, could be a threat to win a game in the playoffs. And that would totally change the narrative of the NFC East. We wouldn't be able to really make fun of them. It's a bad division. But if they produce a division winner that wins a playoff game, then it's not as fun as if it was a 4-12 division winner team that got blown out in the first round. Washington is adding a little spice, just a little spice of credibility by playing not only this well, but also with one of the better defenses in the National Football League. That's getting better and better and better. And Chase Young is playing great. Antonio Gibson's doing well. You got Logan Ryan, Alex Smith, of course, the Disney story that he is. We'll talk about that coming up in the show as well. Also, Major League Baseball has come to a moment of clarity what to do with the Negro League, and it's incorporating them into the major leagues. It didn't way back in the 60s, and it kind of kept it that way until now, the sort of revelation that, you know what, they played Major League Baseball in the Negro League, and we're going to incorporate their history into Major League's history. There's going to be some numbers that are going to be altered. A lot of people are praising this, and rightfully so, but they do wonder, what do the numbers mean when you start adding statistics? How do you find statistics? We'll also buzz about that as well. I'm fascinated with tonight's game, if the Chargers can pull off an upset against the Raiders and sort of make a mess of the playoffs. But if the Raiders win, are favored to do so, what does it mean in the AFC playoff race to the wild card race for a team like Baltimore and Miami, who are now looking at the Raiders entering into the party? All of that coming up in this hour as we continue. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. But coming up next, Throwback Thursday, and then the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on SportsMap Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue here on Wake Up Call. Thanks for joining us, as always. All right, so it's Throwback Thursday. We were talking about, on this date, The Simpsons debuting as a primetime television program rather than a skit or a bit in another show. So that's great, but what's the good of the day?
The good of the day has a caveat of, hey, it could be bad.
Okay.
All right.
I like those.
But it's good because when it's working well, it works. It's a great story. And it's Dairy Queen. There was a Dairy Queen in Minnesota where 900 customers continued that trend of paying for the order of the car behind you.
How many did this?
900.
That's incredible.
So you just picture 900 cars going through a drive-thru. It started about mid-Thursday last week and ended around Saturday evening.
That's kind of a story. I hate to say this, but that's kind of a story I don't necessarily believe right away.
Right.
Not one car in 900 went, oh, thanks, and moved on.
Well, that's where the bad comes in. They must have been simple orders.
Yeah.
Because if you're that guy, like, who ended it, I mean, I have no idea how it ended. But if I go through and I'm just ordering just a cone for myself, and everyone's like, and they come to me in the window and say, yeah, your cone is free. But the car behind you, just spent like $50 on food. It's going to end quickly, right?
Yeah, that's going to end quickly. Right, exactly.
I wasn't planning on spending $50 on someone else's dinner tonight.
It is amazing to me that nine, that just seems like it's just too many people
Yeah.
And not one of them said, yeah, thanks. Oh, I got a free meal. Moving on.
No, I mean, maybe it's Minnesota. You know,
that's great.
Minnesota
Nice. If it's true, it's a great story. That's a great story. But who ended it exactly? Who's the guy that went, eh?
But it is that, there is that caveat of bad, though. Because, like, I wouldn't want to be that guy that gets stuck with a $20 bill when I was planning on spending $5.
Exactly. My son was telling me this as a waiter, that occasionally he'll have a couple, like an older couple, and somebody will come up to the manager and say, I'd like to pay for that elderly couple's meal. And he says, you get double tipped. He goes, you get tipped on the guy who's paying the meal. And then he goes, and then you tell the couple, somebody has paid your meal. They're anonymous, but your meal is comped. And then the guy goes, oh, well, thanks, and leaves money on the table because you get double tipped. But I don't know if anybody ever just goes in a restaurant, for example, oh, thanks, somebody randomly paid for my meal. Then I'll randomly pay for that meal and just see where that goes. But in a drive-thru, it seems like it would be easier to do that. You know what? I used to do it in tolls. When I was living in New Hampshire, we had a toll highway. And every now and then I would have to go through the cash lane because I didn't have any tokens or exact change to put in the bin. So I would drive in. It was like 50 cents or whatever. And I'd give the guy a dollar and I'd say, pay for the guy behind me. And I don't know if it led to something awesome or if it led to the guy going, sucker.
Yep.
Right? I don't know.
I'm pocketing this.
Right, exactly. 50 cents now. I'm richer than that.
That's right.
I don't know. But it sounds like a lot of cars of paying it forward.
For something like that to go 2.5 days. But again, I mean, like wild. I said, I was like, I would be that, you know, that guy that would end it because I just came for, you know,
an ice cream cone.
And I'm not willing, wasn't in my mindset to go, yeah, let me pay for that family of four's entire meal.
They
ordered burgers
exactly.
And fries and shakes.
And blizzards.
Yeah.
Top of their meal.
Sorry. I'm not Uncle Moneybags over here.
Right. Exactly. Golly, that's great. All right. What's the bad of the day?
Well, yeah, this one, this one just rubs me the wrong way. Creed frontman. You remember the band Creed?
Oh, do I ever? Yeah.
Scott Stapp. That's the frontman's name.
Who thrilled us all in a Thanksgiving Day performance in Dallas 18 years ago.
Yeah.
19 years ago, whatever it was.
Well, buckle your seatbelt there,
oh,
Tony.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
He will portray Frank Sinatra.
Oh, no. Stop.
In an upcoming Ronald Reagan biopic.
No.
For some of you out there who may not know, I took the liberty of pulling a sample of Scott Stapp so we can listen to it and compare that to Old Blue Eyes.
I'm cringing right now.
Yeah, so here's Scott. If you don't know, I'm going to play Scott Stapp first just in case you couldn't tell the difference.
Ugh.
So that's enough of that, right?
Right.
We got about 5 seconds in. Now, you can hear that voice in your head. I mean, that was screaming Sinatra, wasn't it? Because
oh, yeah. Here's
Sinatra.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Ah, Frank. All right, so this is where...
I don't even want to turn Frank off.
So is he going to... is he going to be singing in the movie? Since about Reagan.
To, right?
Right.
He has to be singing. I mean, why would you have someone portray Frank Sinatra if they weren't going to sing?
Right.
And so, Scott Stapp was the only one that said, yeah, I'll do it?
Yeah.
Or was your first choice? I mean, unless there's some vocals with Scott Stapp that we're unaware of, I can't imagine it being anywhere near what we're listening to right now.
Oh, that breaks my heart. You're not going to find anybody in your inner circle that's got a bigger Frank Sinatra collection than I do. I am loaded with CDs.
Let me ask you.
I'm taking this personally.
You're doing a Ronald Reagan biopic, right? Now, Frank Sinatra's probably just going to be a small little thing that Reagan may have had a chance encounter with. Who's your choice?
In terms of to play Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, because obviously you need to pick someone. Obviously, Frank can't do it.
That's a good question.
See, the first person that came to my mind when perusing some Frank Sinatra songs, Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé? Yeah, that's not bad.
Just because he's that type of crooner.
Now, there was a movie, the Rat Pack movie. Ray Liotta played Sinatra, but somebody else sang the songs. But it wasn't about Sinatra's singing career. It was about his Rat Pack and relationship to John F. Kennedy in the 60s. And it was based
how
on that.
How he became who he was.
Right. Exactly. But if this is about Sinatra in his later years actually becoming a Republican, friends with Ronald Reagan, getting the Medal of Freedom from Ronald Reagan, and singing at the inauguration and all of that, then you got to go with somebody a little older. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, his son passed away too, Frank Sinatra Jr. So you can't go him.
I mean, I guess you could always go the other route, which is just bring back a hologram of him.
Yeah, maybe that, so.
That
maybe
seems
so.
To go over well.
Leota wasn't bad in the movie Rat Pack.
Yeah, but like you said, he didn't sing, and I have to imagine, have to believe that if they're finding someone who is a singer, and that's what we're calling Scott Stapp here, a singer.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
That you're planning on having him sing
at some point in the movie.
At some point in the movie.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And that's where I'm having issues with is. It's like, all right, you know, you could dress anyone up and make them. You can dress me up and make me look like Frank Sinatra, and I can pass Frank Sinatra.
All right, let's get the dumb of the day, because that was close to being the dumb of the day.
Right. Well, you know, the dumb. We're gonna kick it up a notch here. Facebook, is creating an AI tool to read people's minds.
It is.
Yeah.
How will it be doing that? Does it give any details as to what exactly that means in my everyday life?
Yeah, they acquired a neural interface startup called Control Labs in 2019.
Right.
And they demonstrated its progress in the field with a sensor that makes neural signals coming from my brain down my spinal cord along my arm to my wrist and allow a user to make a physical action. So basically what they're hoping for is with a way to read your mind was probably to enhance their VR, their virtual reality system, Oculus.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
So I think they're going to go that route. I don't think it's, you know, you're on Facebook, you know, looking at grandma's photos, and it's going to be reading your mind. Although, we have said this many, many times, that ads pop up, and I've never even clicked on it.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe they already are reading our minds?
They're doing something right in terms of that.
Is this something that we're needing in society?
Isn't it amazing that this went from simply, hey, I went to high school with that guy, let's see what he's doing, to now a company that wants to read your mind?
I mean, I was.
That didn't take long, what, a decade or so?
I was perfectly fine with just being a stalker on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's my ex-girlfriend up to? She's married with 5 kids. I wonder where my old boss is doing these days. No longer in the hotel industry, right? Things like that. Now it's like, we want to read your mind. We want to control everything you do or say. We want to control all the information you get. Like, it's amazing what a major billion-dollar company, multi-billion-dollar company can do in a decade.
Yeah. There's no end in sight.
No end in sight. No end in sight.
Before you know it, I mean, they're just taking your money.
That's right.
That's all it is.
Exactly. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We got Dave Preston coming up WTOP in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to him about Washington and how good they may be playing right now. And that's coming up as we continue. It is Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by, talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. They're not going to send you a dinosaur that will run your car or some pigeon or bird that'll help your car run better.
But at O'Reilly, can you get a rib rack holder?
That's true. Can you get a rib rack holder at O'Reilly Auto Parts?
Good old Brontosaurus rack of ribs.
Exactly. If you go into O'Reilly Auto Parts, do they say, oh, well, how's your feet doing? Do you need, I don't know, shoes?
Yeah.
Or is the barefoot driving working for you? Right.
Did you ever watch the movie with John Goodman?
I have, but it was a long time ago.
One of the scenes that made me cringe the most is when he was late for a meeting and he slaps his big old foot on the table. He goes, sorry, I picked up a nail.
Oh, God, that's painful.
And he had a nail sticking out of his foot. Oh. And I was just like, God, that just doesn't look good.
Now we're doing Flintstones because on this date 31 years ago, The Simpsons debuted. We're doing primetime cartoons on a Throwback Thursday, so it's the anniversary of The Simpsons. Flintstones was a cartoon version of The Honeymooners. Everybody sort of knows that, but it was also like it was kind of one of those cartoons when I was a kid that would be on like after school. You'd get like a bunch of cartoons that would come on, but it really was a primetime adult, like The Simpsons, adult cartoon. I mean, it had adult humor in it, adult themes. Flintstones did ads for cigarettes. Remember Fred and Barney and smoking Winston's? Yes. Barney, Winston cigarettes. Oh, dear Fred, these are very good. Right? I mean, that's what the Flintstones were. No problems with that whatsoever.
If a cartoon did that, say, obviously probably wouldn't be The Simpsons, maybe Family Guy. Right? Family Guy did like a commercial for Viagra. How bad would people go up and how quickly would cancel culture just be showing up at the door?
I don't know, because Family Guy doesn't pretend to be a kid's cartoon.
Well, I know.
So, but if you did it in a kid's cartoon,
I guess you got to do it that way, right?
If you did it on an element of a kid's cartoon where you're like, oh yeah, well that doesn't seem to be appropriate.
One that has a lot of adult themes to it, because I enjoy watching it with my kids from time to time, is SpongeBob.
Yeah, SpongeBob.
So
You did that with SpongeBob, that's a great point. If you did it with SpongeBob, they'd probably come after him pretty hard.
Because that's amazing. Like, Flintstones, it was like, that's normal. Yeah,
that's right.
Of course, cavemen smoked back in the days.
On Twitter, Michael, something doesn't make sense with the Dairy Queen story. Oh, yeah, he's onto something. Uh-oh. Here. When the restaurant closes on Thursday night, how does the last car that night pay for the following car's bill the next day? DQ normally closes around 9 to 10 p.m. and opens the next day before lunch. That is a great point. Is Dairy Queen legally obligated to tell the next morning's car in the drive-thru that the bill has been paid?
Yeah, because here's the other thing, too.
They don't know. They just give money and just go... Hopefully this will cover the next bill.
The other thing was that at 7 a.m., that's when Dairy Queen opens.
Right. They have breakfast at Dairy Queen?
I don't know.
That's amazing. I did not know that. Now I'm happy.
But I don't know if you're getting coffee at 7 in the morning.
Maybe, I don't know.
It's had to be like on the news where people just kind of knew about it.
Yeah, and they just said, let's keep the ball rolling.
Or it's a small town. It's somewhere in Minnesota. I don't know.
Good point.
Where.
It could be a small town and everybody kind of got the buzz.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But no, that makes all the sense in the world how would you know? Right. Like, if I went to my local drive-thru, take any chain restaurant, I wouldn't have known that this trend was going on.
That's right.
I'd totally break it.
So the Major League Baseball has made a decision. The Negro Leagues are now being incorporated into the history of Major League Baseball. This is really good, but it creates one problem, but it's a minor problem. First of all, for those of you who don't know the history, the Major League Baseball has incorporated a number of professional baseball leagues into calling them major leagues. There's, of course, the National League and the American League, but then there was the American Association that ended in 1891, Union Association in 1884, the Players League in 1890, the Federal League in 1915. The Negro League, which went away when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, was turned down for that designation back in the 1960s. And it wasn't even until 1971 that the Hall of Fame inducted Satchel Paige. So it comes in 2020. There's going to be two things that are going to be said about this. One, very, very late to the game for Major League Baseball to recognize the level of professional baseball the level of baseball that was being played in the Negro Leagues. And two, on the flip side, sometimes you don't do anything. Sometimes you just let years go by before you actually do anything. So props to Major League Baseball for at least saying, hey, we may be very late on doing this, but we're doing this.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Now, this is where it gets very, very interesting. And Joe Ponanski writes this in The Athletic. He actually has a great column on it. I encourage you to subscribe to The Athletic for this kind of content. It's very good. But he writes a very good column about, okay, we all agree that this is good, right? We all agree that now we've taken Negro League players and now incorporating them into the history of Major League Baseball, giving a lot of validity to it, even though they never denied the validity of that league, right? The people that were involved in it had always said, Buck O'Neill famously used to say, when people say, I wish you played in the majors, how do you know I didn't? right? Because there was a feeling like we're playing professional baseball. We don't need Major League Baseball to tell us we're the best of the best in terms of our league. We know we are, right? If we're a black player and the only place we can play is the Negro Leagues, we're the best of the best among that group. Now they're being incorporated into the history of Major League Baseball. We know that's good. But it wasn't a statistical league. I mean, there are people who are digging up statistics, trying to find some box scores of a lot of the games. It didn't lend itself to the importance of the numbers like Major League Baseball has always done.
Yeah.
So a lot of the numbers aren't complete, right? So you get some of Josh Gibson's home runs. You get some of the victories of Satchel Paige. You get some of Cool Papa Bell's stolen bases. You don't get the complete picture because it wasn't a statistically based historical league like the way Major League Baseball is.
Yeah. But for some of those stat guys, this is Christmas.
Yeah, of course. God. Of course. If they can get their hands on like hundreds and hundreds of games old archives, this is going to be, I'll tell you right now, for a baseball statistician, this is going to be a great scavenger hunt to find old newspapers that carried the box score, to find old, just any record at all of games that were played.
Do libraries still carry microfiche?
It might be. Exactly. There might be. So you can imagine somebody like saying, you know what? I'm making it. And a lot of people have. Like before even this announcement, there were a lot of people who said, I want to put this in complete context. I want to go find these games. I mean, there were, you know, not only did Negro League teams play amongst themselves, they played against other leagues. They played against factory teams. I mean, they played wherever they could. So there's a ability to sort of process what those numbers mean. I think, like I said, it's a good problem to have because finally they're recognizing that league and the talent that was there. But as I said earlier, and I think it is important, the Negro League never denied the excellence of their own players. They didn't want validation. They always never felt that they needed the validation of Major League Baseball. They always felt like, no, we had great players and we always had great players. All of a sudden in 2020, they're not great players. They've always been that. And I think that's an important distinction
now,
to make here.
Here's another thing I was just thinking of too. And maybe the answer was written in the article. I don't know. Or maybe the answer was said. Will some of these guys get on a Hall of Fame ballot?
Yeah, or, great point.
You know,
yeah.
Retroactively sure. Admitted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point. Now, some of them already are, and some of them now can and whatnot. Yeah, because now we're starting to get a better understanding of what was going on there.
Especially when these statisticians figure out some stats on some guys, we might all of a sudden find out, like, yeah, did you guys know that this guy had like 200 hits every year he played?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he only played 5 seasons, but he had 200 hits every season.
Josh Gibson batted .441 in 1943. What does that mean in terms of Ted Williams's numbers?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's all sorts of things that the numbers people can do. But let's remember too, there's going to be some pushback from people who are like, "Oh my God, you're going after the sacred church of baseball statistics," right?
Yeah.
I mean, there is no other sport I can think of. And maybe it's soccer and sports I'm not fully aware of that deals with its numbers better than baseball. I mean, it loves its numbers.
No, it does. Because you can incorporate some USFL numbers into the NFL and it'd be like, well, okay.
Yeah. If you added Jim Kelly's USFL, Steve Young's USFL numbers into their NFL statistics, what would it do, right? I mean,
right.
What would it mean to passing
Brett
yards
Favre
and things
Tom
like that?
Brady, Peyton,
right.
Andrew Brees.
Right. So, but nevertheless.
But you do that in baseball. You might run into some people like, no, throw an asterisk.
That's right. Nevertheless, a good problem to have for Major League Baseball to incorporate these numbers. It's not a problem. It should have happened a long time ago. I'm glad it finally did happen in 2020. Some of my favorite, the late Buck O'Neill was a fantastic interview. If you ever listen to him talk, he was in the Ken Burns documentary early 90s about baseball, the 9-inning segment that Burns did. He was featured heavily in that. He is a great storyteller. He was a great sort of ambassador for Negro League Baseball. And he go to YouTube. You can find a lot of his talks, a lot of his stories, his recollections of his interactions with players in that league, his friendships, the deep friendships. And so I'm glad that their history is being incorporated to Major League Baseball. It is about time. And it's, like I said, incorporating the numbers, even though it could be problematic, is a good problem to have. Dave Preston to talk about the Washington football team next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's a Throwback Thursday as we continue along. On this date, The Simpsons debuted as a full-time television program. It goes on to this day. This is Beavis and Butthead. We're doing cartoons, making a little primetime appearance. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Dave Preston, WTOP, because we got some explaining to do on the Washington football team. But before we do that, Dave, I know you're a television aficionado. What's your favorite Simpsons moment? Do you have one?
What's my favorite what?
Simpsons moment.
Gosh, that's did you just say favorite Simpsons moment?
Yes.
Okay, favorite Simpsons moment. I actually so many great ones.
I've caught you off guard. I should have texted you this beforehand.
I know. Well, I mean, do we want favorite episodes? Probably favorite episode would be the B-sharps.
Of
Homer's
course.
In the Barbershop Quartet band.
That's right.
But I would say the when I saw the Frank Grimes episode, I was actually crying. I was laughing so much. my girlfriend at the time told me we're going to have to turn this off because you're laughing so much and enjoying this so much. And you know that is probably that's an episode that pretty much turns the entire show on its head, because when the whole point of, oh my goodness, Homer is an absolute buffoon. We all kind of knew that, but here's this guy, Frank Grimes, who, you know, exists in this Simpsons universe, who's breaking the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh wall. So I would say the Frank Grimes, I still cry laughing anytime that is on, because, ooh, look at me, I'm Homer Simpson. So.
Excellent. All right, so Dave, 6-7. This Washington team is in first place, and now they're playing good, and now everyone is sort of going, how good are they now that they've seemed to turn their season around? One, well, give us an idea where that has occurred, and two, are they now turning into a threatening football team?
Well, what's amazing is that I think for those of us who live in Washington, for those of us who cover this team, This is how they've made the playoffs this century. 2005, they won their last five games to make it as a wild card. 2007, they won their last four games to finish 9-7 after Sean Taylor had been killed. 2012, with Robert Griffin III, they started 3-6, won their last seven. And then the last time they made the playoffs, they won their last four to finish 9-7. So, I mean, this is how they get it done. This team does not make the playoffs from ahead. You know, it's usually this furious finishing kick at the end of the season. The way they're doing things now, they're taking advantage of a schedule that for a stretch they had a couple of gimmies here and there that they did not take advantage of. I'm looking at the Detroit game. I'm looking at both Giants games. But this is a team that has played better. They're doing it with defense, and they're doing it by not losing the game. In the past, the quarterback position has turned the ball over, has lost games for them. That hasn't been the case over the last four games. They were fortunate to catch a Pittsburgh team that wasn't at their best. They were fortunate to catch a Dallas team that is definitely not at their best. But you got to play the games ahead of you. Nick Mullins reminds me of this quarterback, Scott Bowl, for the Niners back in the 70s before Bill Walsh got there. Look him up. He is the numbers are absolutely awful, even for the 1970s. this Washington team and under Coach Ron Rivera has taken advantage of the path ahead of them. It doesn't hurt that they have a fantastic pass rush and a great front seven that has really set the tone for them. So, on one level, one is surprised because last season's team was such an embarrassment, but on another level, it doesn't take a lot to move the needle in the NFL from bad to okay and from okay to good. Question is, with three games remaining, can this team take advantage of the schedule that's ahead?
Let's talk about Alex Smith, because everybody wants to write the Disney movie, right? What he's went through and what he's overcome. But let's get practical. What kind of quarterback is he right now? What is he offering? What is he delivering for Washington?
Well, most importantly, I think we all agree that Ryan Gosling gets the role. He's going to be starring as Alex
right.
Smith in the Alex Smith story. Ryan Reynolds might be able to play a backup or you know, the Sam Bradford cameo. Those are the two givens when we're casting this Disney film. Alex Smith is you hate to say game manager because it makes it sound like the guy doesn't have an arm. But I think Alex Smith is the veteran quarterback who knows the offense, who they know what his weaknesses are, and they go away from those. And right now he has a bad calf, so he's a question mark for Sunday's game with Seattle. And before he got knocked out of the game against San Francisco, his numbers really weren't that good. But when he's at his best with this team in the small sample size that we have, when you look, because he only made 10 starts way back when, and he's only made a handful of starts this year, he's at his best when he's throwing for 175 to 225 yards. They're not hanging their offensive hat on him per se, but he's making the necessary throws to move the chains when he needs to.
From the standpoint of the defense, now that's where everybody is looking at, saying, look how good they're playing defensively. Talk about Chase Young. Where has it improved? How has it gotten better?
Well, I think, you look at a guy like Chase Young has made a huge impact on the defensive line, and he's opening things up for other guys, Montez Sweat, Ryan Kerrigan as well. So his presence on that defensive line can't be underscored. And I think a lot of it's just going away from that 3-4 that was such a disaster for this team for so long. They went with it under Jim Haslett in 2010, and it was one of those things that never really was working from the very beginning. And it's amazing how long they kept running that, trotting out that 3-4 that was just not suited for this personnel, short term, long term, and never was never really worked. It takes a special group. It takes a special type of coach to be able to work that 3-4. We've seen it in Pittsburgh for years, but it's a mentality, and that mentality never took root here. I think you're seeing a lot of talent on the defensive line, a lot of high draft picks for that front seven. And then you got guys like a John Bostic, who is a decent free agent pickup, who's just doing the right things in there and helping out the defense from that standpoint.
People are looking at Washington, and you hear it a lot. We've discussed about it on this show. Look, they seem to be building something. They got the right coach. Ron Rivera just had a philosophical difference in Charlotte. He comes to Washington, good coach. They wanted him immediately, grabbed him around Thanksgiving. But in the end, it revolves around the quarterback. Where are they going future-wise with the quarterback? Who is it going to be? Do they still have to find that person if they're going to continue what they're building on in other aspects of the game?
I think that the quarterback of the future is not on this roster.
That's a good point.
I think they're going to find somebody. Potentially they find him next year. If not, Alex Smith is a good bridge quarterback. That's what we've seen in the past. He's been a good guy before the guy for the team that makes the Super Bowl run. And in today's NFL, where with free agency and with the way the contracts are set up, you don't have whereas I think maybe 15 to 20 years ago, teams tried to build up for a potential 5-year run. Now that run might be 3 years because the guys are going to, Ryan Kerrigan's not getting any younger. Chase Young's the building block that you want on the defensive line, but some of those other guys who are having really good years now, not everyone has great years at the same time. So I think from the quarterback position, they're going to look and see if they can find somebody next year. I don't know if Dwayne Haskins is with this team long term, but he's got the proverbial cap hit number that you don't want to have on the books. Kyle Allen was not playing great, but he was playing okay while he was here, so he has a chance to come back next year as well. This is one of those proverbial you're just going to kick the can down the road, and if you find somebody, if you find somebody that wows you in the draft that you think can be this quarterback of the future, then you take him, but you're not trading 17 picks to move up to get him.
All right, one final question. It's a larger picture question, Dave, and we're talking to Dave Preston, WTOP, on Washington's football team. this whole organization has gone through a lot in the last 12 months or so, from a change at coach to changing the name and feeling the pressure from that, to the sexual scandal that was going on over the summer, the sexual harassment scandal. Is there a change of culture? Are you sensing it? It may not be something that happens in 6 months. It may take longer than that. But is there a feeling that the organization is starting to change its culture and starting to look and feel different than in the past?
It's one of those things that you have to believe that there is a change with the new team president in place. There's the feeling that maybe that's the case. But back in the day, we thought the same thing when Marty Schottenheimer came in, and lo and behold, he was gone. I think by Christmas, or he was gone by the new year, and it was Vinny Serrato was back then, Steve Spurrier was your head coach. And they regressed. So I think with the hiring of Mike Shanahan, everyone thought, okay, they finally have an adult in the room. And before you knew it, Robert Griffin III was running amok, and you had Jay Gruden in place, and you went from and this is a professional organization to people calling it Camp J. So I think while what the organization has done over the last 6 months has been very encouraging, if there's anything that this team has shown us over the last 20 years, it's they have a spurt, they have a growth spurt, and then they recede and go back to their old ways or something along those lines. It's a few years ago after they made the playoffs in 2015, and everyone thought, okay, they finally have their quarterback. Kirk Cousins is their guy. Jay Gruden likes Kirk Cousins, all this, that, and the other thing. This is going to be a team that's going to be around for a while. The Washington Post ran clips of their three previous playoff runs where the quotes were basically the same. Hey, we finally got things in gear. We've got a quarterback that we can really believe in. And within 2 years, each of those playoff appearances fell by the wayside. And it was though that it felt on some levels that they had never even made the postseason. So it's doing things over a six-month stretch like they have, that's encouraging. But being able to sustain it for six more months and then 6 months after that, that's going to be the real test for this organization and this team.
Dave, always good talking to you. Absolutely love it. Appreciate it as we look forward to this team. Hope we get you on soon. As always, I thank you so much.
Hey, Merry Snickers, Tim.
Merry Snickers as well. Happy. Thanks so much. Dave Preston, WTOP. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Touch on some of the things. And also, signing day yesterday. Some fun notes from that as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, cartoons in primetime, and how can we not end Throwback Thursday on the Simpsons anniversary with a little Charlie Brown music and the fact that we can't find those holiday specials on except for PBS and Apple TV.
Yep.
That's it.
Now, here's the thing. I mean, I know it's not a running series, but I couldn't tell you if I ever saw it in the daytime.
Yeah, that's right.
It's always at night.
Always at night. That's right. Great point.
Once a year.
All right. So yesterday was day part one of signing day, and you said there were some fun names to go through.
There are some fun names to go through.
All right.
And I'll save the best for last. So I'm just going to read a couple of them. There's a guy who I think is committed to, is that Stanford? A Stanford defensive back, Samford.
The Samford Bulldogs out of Alabama.
They have a new defensive back named Midnight Stewart.
Oh, nice.
We have an Iowa offensive lineman. His name is David Koff.
David Koff?
Yeah, last name is David Koff.
David Koff, and they named him David.
Yeah.
Well done, parents.
Yep. Let's see. We got Gunnar Helm.
Oh, I like that name. Actually, that's a good name.
It's a good name. That's a strong.
That's a great name.
New tight end with the Texas Longhorns.
Oh, no. That's a great name.
Gunnar Helm.
That's fantastic. That's great. If you have a name like Helm and you go Gunnar Helm, that sounds good. Sounds like our kid would be a Longhorn.
Yeah.
That's great.
That sounds like he's going to have a good football career, too.
That's right. He should have a good football career.
Then there's Demetrius Davis.
Demetrius Davis.
Yeah, he's a new Auburn quarterback.
Oh, okay.
But it's more that his nickname and how he goes by.
Which is?
Demetrius Thick Marshall Davis.
Fantastic.
And Thick is spelled T-H-I-C-C.
Wonderful.
Thick Marshall.
Why not? Go with that.
And I think we've seen this guy before. I mean, he's a big kid. He's not your stereotypical looking quarterback.
Right. Okay.
You got Kybo Jamerson.
Kybo Jamerson. Nice.
Yeah, I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Sure.
Hamp Fay, Michigan State quarterback.
Yeah, that sounds tough to say, like
Hamp,
on the fly.
Hamp Fay.
Hamp Fay.
Jamarian Gooch, Tennessee offensive lineman.
All right.
Got to have a Gooch, right?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Now, this one is uncommitted, but 24/7, I think, has him. I think he's up there, and this is a real player, and his parents literally named him this. You ready for it?
Yes.
General Booty.
Hey, now that's pretty cool. There's some marketing opportunities with that, right?
I mean, his last name is Booty, B-O-O-T-Y. Didn't we have a Booty?
There was, like,
from USC, right?
Yes, John David Booty. If my memory serves me.
Not sure if there's any relations, but...
But still.
These parents decided to name their son General.
General Booty. General Booty. See, name, image, and likeness is coming, right, for college athletes? It's time to capitalize a little bit on General Booty.
Yeah, we all need a little General Booty in our life.
Figure out what you can do with that. That's great. All right. Jake Asman Show next.